let's get started. Okay, so we have in Perek Mem Vav, we talked about how Yaakov goes down to Egypt with a stopover in Beersheba. Talked about why he went to Beersheba. Now he's going down to Egypt, and let's go through all the names of everyone in his family who went down to Egypt with him. Don't worry, we'll do it again soon. When are we going to do that again?
Let's look at the names of everyone that went down to Egypt and then give you the wrong number.
Well, that's all. Oh, so we're going to talk about that today, the wrong number. But then in Shemot, it does it again, right? It's very interesting stuff. So, okay, Asher Yaldal Yaakov, this is in Tosfot. Ela b'nei Leah, Asher Yaldal Yaakov in Padan Aram. These are the children of Leah who were born to Yaakov in Padan Aram. That Dina Bito, and also Dina. Kol nefesh banav notav shloshim b'shalosh. All the children are, and sons and daughters are 33. Problem is, if you count up how many children there are, it's only 32. So Shadal approaches this problem. And what's interesting is that we have a strata issue. We have the Ketav Yad Yaf and the Ketav Yad Yachaf. Again, the Pardo brothers have a difference in their manuscripts. What ends up going in is the Yaf. The guy on the left over here. Okay, so let's just read the pasuk. What are we talking about? It says, "Be'elu shemos b'nei Yisrael habayim mitzrayma." These are the names of the b'nei Yisrael who went down to Egypt. Yaakov uvanov, b'chor Yaakov Reuven. It says Yaakov and his children, who's the firstborn, Reuven. So what's weird is that it says, you know, the name of the B'nai Yisrael, and then it says Yaakov and his children. So it includes Yaakov. So that's one thing. And then it goes through all of these, and you have to question exactly why. Another question that Shadal will approach is Shimon's children, Shimon's wife. Who is Shimon's wife? In Yud, it says, U'mnei Shimon, Yimuel, V'yamin, Ohad, he has Yachin, Sochar Shaul Ben Haknanit. So, who is the Ben Knanit? That's weird. So, what does Rashi say? The Knanit woman that Shimon married was his half sister, Dina. Why would she be called a Knanit? Because one time she was raped by a Canaanite. Who was that? Shechem, right? So, Kishahargo es Shechem, when he killed Shechem, it says Rashi, Lo haita Dina rotze letzeit. Dina actually didn't want to go. Ad shenishba la Shimon shisa ena. Until Shimon swore that he would marry her. Perhaps she was afraid that having her reputation tarnished, or not reputation, but her bodily autonomy had been violated. Perhaps she was afraid she wouldn't find anybody who would marry her, and Shimon said, I will marry you. This is a little bit, it works a little bit, because who are the people who went down and killed everybody? Shimon and Levi. It happens to be, so Rashi, I mean, in the Midrash, that Rashi's basing himself off of, is probably thinking, what's special about Shimon? What do we know about Shimon that he would have a Canaanite wife? So maybe it's Dina who had a relationship with a Canaanite. Shadal has a very different answer for this. Obviously in Pshat, it's just that Shimon married a Canaanite woman, which would be weird. Even in Pshat, it's weird, because we know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were very against the marriage to the Canaanites. They specifically sought out their own family, going really far out in order to do so. So it would be a little weird for, you know, Shimon to break from the pack like this. Okay, so let's see what Shadal has to say. First of all, we have a number issue. Second of all, we have a content issue. And also, why does it say B'nai Yisrael and then start naming Yaakov as part of B'nai Yisrael? The answer is, maybe he is included in that, right? Okay, so let's start with the regular text. I'm not sure if the Ksav Yad Yachaf, the other manuscript, is going to say anything different. I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet. But so let's go with the regular text, what we normally have. Be'el Shemos B'nei Yisrael. Here we go. B'nei Yisrael hu shem ha-mishpacha va'uma. B'nei Yisrael doesn't mean literally the children of Israel, but rather it now means the Israelites. It means the people who are a nation called the B'nei Yisrael. And therefore, v'gam Yaakov, nichlal imahim, Yaakov can be included in that. V'zetam Yaakov u'banav, that's why it says Yaakov and his children. V'shir ha'kasuv kachu, this is how they would translate the pasuk. Here we go. Ela shemos ha'nikra'im b'nei Yisrael. Here are the names of the people who are included in b'nei Yisrael. Habayim Mitzrayim, who went down to Egypt. Kilomer, Yaakov u'banav. Meaning to say, Yaakov, you know, what am I including in B'nai Yisrael? Yaakov and his children, that has the name B'nai Yisrael. Okay, very good. Lukach, the Mispar Rishon Sheizkir, and that's why the first number that's mentioned, V'hu Minyan B'nai Leah, which is the children of Leah, as you pointed out, Yosef, Managam Yaakov. That's why Yaakov is included in that. Right? Again, the number should be 32. Why does it say 33? Because Yaakov is included. Right? Shehem ba'amaro, shehem lamed gimel, alpha fi shehem rak lamed beis, even though it says 33, and it should be 32, Yaakov is included. Alpha fi shamar kol nefesh b'navu m'notav, even though it says all of his children, his sons and daughters, that's what it says, that which would sound like he's not included in that. Hakavana kol nefesh mishpachto, it just means everybody in his family. And obviously he's included in this family. Chen Amar Moshe, and that's why in Dvarim Yud Chaf Bet Moshe says, "Bishiv im nefesh yardu avasecha mitzrayma." 70 souls went down to Egypt. Shelo tiyaz Yaakov min haminyan. What's his name? Moshe was not counting out Yaakov. Yaakov was included in that, and indeed the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra say this. Okay. Vakarach. And we find out later in our parak that it also says 70, even though it says Kol Nefesh LeBeit Yaakov. Ki Gam Yaakov Nichla B'Mishpacha Nikra Beit Yaakov. He's also called the Beit Yaakov. Rak Ba'Amra Kol HaNefesh Abal Yaakov Mitzrayim Hefridi Abayim Me'avihem Asher Elav Yitra Yachsu. There's a question about what about the pasuk that says all of the children that came out of Yaakov. That's a little bit differently. Uperu Shehim Yotze Yericho. The idea is that there's a separation now. Yaakov and his children. Al Kain Amar Shishim Vishesh. That's why it says 66 there. Im Yaakov Heim Shishim Visheva. It would be 67. Fine. Okay. Now, how do we deal with the fact that in Shemos it says that 70 went down, even though only, if you count it, it's only 69? What do you do? Right? What's the answer? Chazal said that Yocheved was born while they were walking in, right? Yocheved was born going into the walls, so she didn't count in terms of the number of people who were going down to Egypt, but she does count in terms of the total number, because eventually she was born there. Which, what did the Ibn Ezra say about that? Do you know this little factoid? This is important in terms of, right? This is basically what Rashi says, based on the Midrash. That's how Chazal have it. He says, it's in Sota Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Right? That Yocheved was born as they were coming into Egypt. So the Ibn Ezra says that is nice drasha, but it's not pshat. How do I know it's not pshat, according to the Ibn Ezra? He says, if it were true, she would be crazy old when she gave birth to Moshe. I forgot what the exact number is, but it's much more than 100. It's much more than 90, which was Sarah. What?
A lot.
It's a lot. 130, 140, I forgot exactly. Right.
And that's already after she's had two kids.
Right. So the idea that the Torah would spend a lot of time with, the miracle of Sarah, right? She's going to have, she laughs. She calls him Yitzchak for the very reason that she's so old and she's having a kid. And yet, it only relegates, like, in the background, the fact that Yocheved gave birth at 130, whatever. That should be, like, emphasized. Why would that be left out? And so he thinks in pshat, it cannot be. The Torah would have said it if it was such a big miracle. And the Ramban fights against him on this and things like that. But okay. So Shadal mentions that, that is how Chazal deal with the missing numbers. Okay. The Ani Bialduti, and I, in my youth, he's going to mention a pretty fantastical pshat about who this Canaanite woman was that's here. That could also give us an extra number, an extra person that wasn't named. Who is that? He says, in my youth, I came up with this pshat. Apparently, he doesn't believe it anymore. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't say, in my youth, I came up with this. Right? He would just say, this is my idea. But it could be that It's not academic, but he likes it, you know. So that could be what he's saying here. When I was in my youth, I would say, Hulai Dina nit Abram Nishchem. Maybe Dina actually had a child because of Shchem, meaning she conceived that one time. V'yalda bat, it could be she gave birth to a daughter. V'habat hahi kar'u shema Knanit. Maybe she named her child the Canaanite. Why? Because it was from Shchem. Ki haya avi Knani, because her father was a Canaanite. V'lekach ota Shimon al neshav. And that is one of Shimon's wives was Knanit, meaning Dina's daughter, Knanit. That's her name. And so Shaul was one of his children that was born from her. Shaddai was willing to say that he married his niece. Okay. So that explains why Knanit, you know, if it meant Knanit as the nationality, then that would be hard to understand. Why doesn't it say her name? Right? Even though I would say that we have this all the time, for example, if in Pshat Moshe married not only Tzipporah, but also married, according to the text, he was married to a Cushite woman. Throughout the Torah, when it just picks on someone's nationality, it doesn't always say the name. If we believe that he actually was married to a different Cushite woman. Okay. So he says, Elehizkir liyota gam hi miyote Yerach Yaakov. It just mentions Knanit because she was part of Yaakov's lineage. That's how to fill out the 33. Instead of 32 plus Yaakov, it's 33, including Knani. Ukishabal Omar Kol Hanafishabal Yaakov Mitraima Yotze Yarcho Levad Nisheya. Okay, fine. So he explains, why doesn't it name all the wives? What about all the wives that they would have been married to? He says, because it's talking about specifically Yaakov's lineage. The Im Yosef Ubanav Harishavim, and if you count Yosef and his sons, it was 70. Vedat Rashbam Rabbam Ibn Ezra he Ikar. So he says Rashbam and Ibn Ezra are correct to just say that Yaakov is included. That's how to answer. You don't have to come up with anybody else who's born who we don't know. Okay, so I'm going to quickly scan. I'm not going to read this whole thing. Let's see if I can detect any differences in the Ketav Yats. He says, The Rashbam and Ibn Ezra approach is most correct, which is to add Yaakov in when necessary and to take Yaakov out when unnecessary and to make the count work. However, he asks questions on that. He says that it's kind of random. It doesn't have anything to do with the pshat. And therefore, he says, I said the Knanit issue would answer it. The end. So you will come away from that, you would say that he likes that answer, the Knanit, the daughter of Dina answer. So it's interesting. That's a very different approach. Fine. Two different ways of formulation. Which one is correct? Who knows? I'll just note as we close out here that the Rush has a kind of a crazy answer, I think. The famous Rush. The Rush says that sometimes the Torah will tell you a number, and it doesn't mean it. It's rounded up, basically. So another example that the Rush... So this is an example. 69? It's close enough to 70. So the Rush says it means 69. It just doesn't do those kind of numbers. Now, you can ask a question, what about 30? Why was it willing to say 33? Maybe that's low enough that it didn't have to round down or up. Maybe it was so in the middle of the spectrum of 10 that it didn't want to round. I don't know. I don't know how you'd answer for that. The Rush says, though, and it kind of like is nice to answer a couple of other questions. You know, Chazal understand that when it says that you should get 40 lashes in the Torah, how many lashes should you actually get? 39. So according to the Rush, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because it was just 40, and it was in that it was rounding up, but it really means 39. And there are a lot of other examples. A lot of times in the Torah, it'll say a round number for the amount of people that were in each tribe. You know, when it counts the tribes in the desert. What are the chances that every tribe would have, like, a round number? Obviously, it's just rounding. It's a pretty elegant answer. The problem is, once you open that door, to say that numbers are more, or like a rounding, you know, it's not specific, then you start asking, well, how far can you go with that? Once the rush allows you to say that, how non-literal can you be with numbers? That gets into dicey territory. All right, Shkoyach.